JG2. Number 8A.
Therefore, we are happy then with this inner feeling of principle, and its idea is one, and this one is principle. And then we have that sense, therefore, of the infinite one. Now we're taking a look how within that infinite one we have infinite within withinness, or we could say within that infinite one we have infinite oneness going on. So therefore, that's understandable, and therefore within the infinite only, so to speak, on the level of divine science, that only on the level of science itself becomes the all in all. Is that all in all a state of pantheism, where the all is in the all? No? Okay. Surely then if it is no, then what is it that is happening there? If it isn't a state of pantheism, what does pantheism mean?
It means God in matter.
Right. God in something, doesn't it? And so in is an obsolete term in Christian science, as we've seen. Principle is never in its idea. But is the idea in principle?
On this level, the idea is principle is one.
But what did we see on the level of science itself? Is the idea within principle?
Yeah.
Included, okay. So the idea is always included within principle, always on all levels, always. It never loses that the idea is included within its principle. It's just always on every level showing why and how it's included within its principle. It's always explaining, always at science level, what's going on within it in more and more detail, you see, as it eventually comes to resolve any belief that anything else is going on besides God. So yes, surely. So the all in all isn't pantheism. The capital all isn't in the lowercase all. So it shows those hyphens, as we know now, show a state of oneness. So a principle, you could say, and its idea is one. And therefore, how did Mrs. Eddy define idea? An image in mind, didn't she? Mm-hmm. Using Webster. An immediate object of understanding. So the idea is an image in mind. The idea is an image in principle. It's an image, isn't it? So it's an image and likeness of the principle. The principle on this level, we takes the subject, and its idea takes, for example, the object. But on this level, it says that reality at its deepest level is where the subjective and the objective is one. Now, the objective universe, it's, and at this point, we underline in our notes or in our consciousness that at this point, principle is showing its universal realm, its universal idea. Always the principle shows, as we usually do something, if we're telling somebody something, if we do it intelligently, we show them the big view of something and then work out the details. If we start talking about a little detail of a subject, nobody knows what we're speaking about. And as an artist, too, Michelangelo would see the whole view of, let's say, the David, and begin sculpting out all around his marble, and then slowly but surely bring out the details. He certainly, as we know, wouldn't go in and do the fingernail first, would he? He has to be able to sculpt the whole figure to find out where in the world he wants the fingernail to be, you see. So we always work from the whole to the specifics in any work of art, whether it's literature, certainly doesn't start with little, some subplot. If one does, there's a danger of getting lost in not seeing the forest for all the trees. So in being, the logic is we go out from the whole and within that whole. So principle is first showing that when principle is being its own infinite principle, when we asked what's going on within it, we see that principle and its universal idea is one. It shows us the universal realm of principle. The big universal view first, as if principle is bragging and say, looking, I'm the big universe. And then on Absolute Christian Science, and that includes what we call man, but that includes ideas, huh? So principle is saying on Divine Science, look at, I'm that infinite individuality called the universe. And then on Absolute Christian Science, and within that I have infinite individualities. But let's not worry about all the many hats I wear to begin with. Let me show you the big view. Huh? The big view. So I, on the level of science itself, I'm principle. And on Divine Science, I show you the whole universe, which on Absolute Christian Science will include all the individual ideas, which we call man, but it's better to call them individual ideas. So if principle is showing us its big universe as principle in its idea, then that universe is an image in principle, isn't it? Isn't it idea? Where does it exist? Outside of principle? No. It exists as idea, as an image in the principle. So the universe is idea, isn't it? And idea is an image in the principle. Hence, they talk about the holographic universe today. And that's why we would take that as a metaphor and say, yes, that's good, I like it, I like it. You can call it, therefore, we live in a divinely holographic universe. A hologram we know. And just to explain it, we talked about it a lot last year in class when I took IDEA through the textbook. I spent a lot of time explaining the meaning of the term IDEA and the divinely holographic universe. But just for the sake of polishing it up, or maybe those who haven't been in on such a discussion, you see then that principle creates its ideational universe, which exists as an image in the principle. Now we know with a hologram we have a plate, and on that plate, for example, I like to say maybe there are mountains, some really beautiful mountains with some nice snow on them. And therefore, but that's on a plate. It's just an image, a photographic image that is on a photographic plate. Now, when according to the world, when they work with holograms, when they take a laser light and shine it through this photographic plate, out comes a third dimensional image of the mountains. It's an image which surrounds us in 3D. Now, we can't climb those mountains, because if you go to climb them, you just walk right through them. They're just an image. And therefore, if any of us have been to Disney World or Disneyland, we've been in the haunted house and see the holograms, haven't we? Third dimensional images of which we could pass our hand through, walk through, do anything to that image, because that image isn't a reality as such. It's a projection from the plate, isn't it? The same is true of idea universe and idea man. That the universe, as a divinely holographic image, as idea, exists only as an image in the principle. It's only as an image in the principle. The only way one could destroy that image is if one destroyed the principle. The only way one could get rid of the image, for example, of these beautiful mountains, is if one destroyed the plate and just took the plate and broke it all up and threw it away. Then the mountains would disappear. The mountains exist as an image in the plate. The mountains cannot be destroyed unless the plate is destroyed. And therefore, the same with the holographic universe, including man. It cannot be destroyed unless the principle is destroyed. And how can that principle, God, be destroyed? Can God be destroyed? Then the universe can't be destroyed. And then on the level of absolute Christian science, man, so-called man, which is really idea, is an image in God. Therefore, as the infinite principle infinitely individualized and adapted to a specific situation, we also are the image of that principle. Infinitely individualized, yet still remaining that principle. Therefore, we are just a divinely holographic image of that principle. We exist as image and likeness, aren't we? Well, then we're just an image that exists in the principle. The only way you could destroy man is you've destroyed principle God. Man cannot be destroyed. So that's why Mrs. Eddy took the term God and gave the meaning principle, and took man and gave the meaning idea. And as Max Kepler indicates in his Four Levels book, the faster we can get away from the terms God and man, the better. God always refers to some anthropomorphic concept, and man always refers to the four-legged animal. We just don't get it out of our mind. Oh, yeah, that's right. I still have see the little babies crawling on the... That's what I was seeing, this little child like this, so I'm sorry. Two legs, that's right. It does leave the four legs and starts walking on two, don't we? I guess I still see us as apes galloping along, needing the two arms. I'm sorry. Well, I sometimes think we act like four-legged animals. Have the same nature, and sometimes we think animals have better nature than man. But, sorry, I was referring to man, of course. And therefore, as it's better to get rid of the concept man, because it refers then to that animal man that it's hard for us to get rid of, you know, where they say that between the chimpanzee and man are we. And so that we are still have that tremendous animal nature that we're trying to come out of. We're not animals. It's just a false belief that we are coming out of that horrendous nature and into the nature of the divine. And so therefore, in the spiritual, we're the image and likeness of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love going on. We're that one principle infinitely individualized, yet still remaining the one principle in quality and not in quantity. As long as I'm on this particular point and digress even a little bit further to help with that holographic sense of the universe, when you touch an idea, you always touch the whole, don't you? So, therefore, when you touch the universe, you always touch the whole of principle on the level of divine science. And on the level of absolute Christian science, when you touch an idea, you always touch the whole. So using that example of a hologram, if on the level of divine science, for example, we see that example of the mountains as an image in on that plate, if we drop the plate and it broke, and let's say a vacuum cleaner came along and swept up all the pieces, but left one piece, I like to say, maybe under a rug, and we found that one piece from the holographic plate that had the mountains on it, and we took that little piece and and passed the laser beam through it, what would be projected? The whole mountain. And that's what they saw in holography, that every part contains the whole. And that is extraordinary. It's the method of photography that was able to produce a reproduction on a plate that had everything containing the whole. And that certainly is good for, again, as a metaphor for us in science, where we see, well, therefore, the universe is a reflection of the whole of principle, isn't it? It's an image of the whole of principle. And then on the level of absolute Christian science, within that universe is individual man, which is really idea, where if we say, all right, in reality, I am principles, idea. I am that one infinite individuality, infinitely individualized as an infinite individuality of that principle, yet still remaining that one principle. Again, I am that one principle, infinitely individualized to a specific situation, yet still remaining that one principle. Does that make me lesser than principle? No. It makes me at one with principle in quantity or quality?
Quality.
Therefore, we are in quality all that mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love is, infinitely individualized and adapted to a specific situation. We have all the qualities of God. Hence, she said it's the compound idea man. Yet still remaining the one principle. That's the holographic image. That's why when you touch an idea, you touch the infinite one. Every part reflects the whole. You see? So that's just something that is important to realize, that this from this all in all, the capital all is reflected in the little all as the all. And on the level of divine science, that capital all in lowercase all is the lowercase all represents the universe, as I said. So that, I hope, gives a bigger picture of what is going on here between in divine science. Now, we see then that relationship between principle and its idea, or principle in the divinely holographic universe, is now what? If that principle on the level of science itself includes within itself, its holographic universe is included within itself, as is individual idea man, all included within that principle. But on the level of divine science now, we see what kind of relationship is it, if on the level of science itself it was an indivisible relationship between principle being its own infinite principle as it includes within itself its idea. It just cannot be divided up. It just is principle being its own infinite principle, including its idea. On divine science, then how do we talk about that indivisible whole when it is expressing itself as an ideational universe? What is the relationship between principle and its holographic universe? It's inseparable, okay? All right, so we already see that divine science has a little sense of talking in two-ness, but always says that principle and its idea, that two-ness is one. It's an inseparable union. It's a coexistence. It's a closed system. And what closed it was, as we said, its principle in its reflex of principle, huh? Principle in its idea is one, and this one is principle. It closes it within the system. Therefore, on this level, when we stay with the tonality of the level, on page 61 in the study aid, we see at the point of divine science, therefore, with these various questions that come up, we see, therefore, that it's just a sense of, therefore, principle, living principle. Or we would say, capital life, living capital life. There we know that any sense of death is unknown. There's no possibility for it. It's just an infinite withinness of principle. As they said, you'd have to kill the principle in order for any death to occur, and the principle is indestructible. So it just is an infinite realm of light. But that light isn't of the electromagnetism realm of mortal mind. In its friction and duality of the second record of creation, light here is from the circuit of the infinite one withinness of God. The input, process, output, feedback is the divine circuit which is the answer to electromagnetism on the friction duality circuit. So within this realm, there's no friction, there's no duality, there's the infinite rhythm of the fourfold process of principle going on. There's no possibility for friction, therefore there's no possibility for death, because friction is just the heat death. Something dissipates itself and dies, and because this is, as I said, a frictionless universe, there's no death. Evil is excluded. Matter is excluded. It just doesn't exist. Those are all, again, the second record of creation of duality, subject to those laws of thermodynamics, second law of thermodynamics. Healing is instantaneous. Well, within that infinite oneness, there's only light. So if we have to say instantaneous, okay, but really there is light. There is no darkness. The problems are excluded, and we are demonstrating really our divine origin. Our real infinite initial condition, of course, is on the level of science itself. This is, we see as a divine origin. So that has a nice tonality of that pedal note of this level. It's a wonderful level, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And we're happy to have it explained through science to us today. We certainly need the methodology of science and are certainly grateful to what the revelators in the Bible and Mrs. Eddy and Dorley and Max Kapler have brought to us in order to understand this terrific structure of being and its laws. All right, so now we have a general sense of the tonality of the level. We see then, we go on and see if we can start building up the law. And this we build up according just to the factors of the law. So we see, therefore, the factor is principle in relationship to principle. Principle in relationship to being a reflex system. It's still within that infinite self-reflection of science itself. We get the infinite self-reflection, so to speak. And therefore, we can say principle is in a reflex operation with principle. And we can say, and therefore, what is this reflex operation? How can that be diagrammed? So we continue to look then at the information we have on page 81 in the study aid. And we say that principle in its reflection can be shown as it's a fourfold dynamic operation. Where did we get this fourfold dynamic operation? Did Max just feel that would be nice to put it in the study aid like this as a fourfold process? Where does that come from? City Force Square, okay, all right. And it's Mrs. Eddy's interpretation, as we saw on page 575-7 in the study aid, where she said and explained the City Force Square as the Word of God, Christ, Christianity, and divine science, didn't she? So she showed that closed system that St. John was showing us of the City Force Square is really trying to show us that within that city there are four equal sides, one called the Word, one called the Christ, one called Christianity, and one called science. And therefore, is that a static city? That's what we want to ask. How many of us have been to a city that's static, that doesn't operate? Not very many. It's alive, isn't it? A city is moving and having various activities going on within the city. So she's saying, all right, this is a city. The city is active. The city is active according to a four-fold process, isn't it? Of Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. So therefore, that's, can we understand the logic, how operates is turned into a four-fold process there? Can we see that? Of Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. It's coming from the city four square, which is a fourfold process. All right? Then to further explain that city, which is the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science, Max says, well, then that city, we explain it as the Word. We know that in St. John, it said, in the beginning was the Word, and so the Word is always takes the standpoint of God, doesn't it? And the Word was with God, finally showing us it was with God on the level of divine science. So the Word is always the statement of what God is. And the Christ is always... let's take a look. I think what helps us, let's take a look at the survey. So we turn now to page 64 in the study aid that will help us with a tonality of the Word. And as I mentioned that in St. John, it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. On this level, seeing that the Word was God, equated with the synonymous terms. And Word always, when we look it up, means a self-declaration, doesn't it? A statement. Really, it's a sense where principle is saying, declaring what it is. Now, we see that it says that it is out of itself, or out of its origin. So, is that meaning that there's something that it's showing that there isn't anything out of itself, that principle declares, God declares its nature out of its own origin. It's not outside of anything but itself. We maintain that infinite withinness, don't we? And so, therefore, at the point of the Christ, it's always the Christ is that self operation. We see it at the on the survey, and therefore that principle which is declaring itself as the Word out of its self-existence, out of its infinite light, out of its infinite individuality, or out of itself as a Christ, it is always operating by itself, out of its own through its own self-expression, through its own ideal, through truth itself. It never operates through any other channel, doesn't it? Therefore, it handles right there the sense of any medium, that a principle doesn't need to operate through people or through anything else, any other channel than itself. And that, as I said, handles spiritualism, because certainly, for example, other denominations believe that principle, or that God operates through saints, and that in order to come to the standpoint of God, that we have to go through the saints, and that principle, God is speaking through other channels, channeling, so to speak.